ABC News. I'm Brian Clark. A major leadership shakeup at embattled Boeing. The CEO, Dave Calhoun, is resigning at the end of the year. ABC's Mike Dubusky says the company's board chairman and its CEO of commercial airplanes are also stepping down.
It comes less than 3 months after a door plug blowout left a gaping hole in an Alaska Airlines Boeing jet mid-flight. Calhoun called the incident a watershed moment for the company.
Former President Trump expected to attend a hearing in his New York hush money case. Today's also the day New York's attorney general can begin seizing his assets if he fails to secure a bond in the $464 million fraud judgment against him. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan's going to meet with Israel's defense minister today. And L.A. Dodger star Shohei Ohtani says he'll speak to reporters. It would be the first time since the team fired his interpreter over $4 million in payments from Ohtani's account to a gambling operation. Ohtani's lawyers say he's a theft victim. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. All the snow much of Wisconsin got in a big spring storm yesterday is quickly melting, but not before Eau Claire got a record 10 inches of snow. Menominee got 9 inches. Wisconsin can expect rain today and high temperatures climbing into the 40s. Officials are investigating complaints of phony and forged signatures on recall petitions targeting Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Dawn Haggerty says she called the Racine County DA's office after her signature was forged.
And I also called the Elections Commission to ask if there's a way to get my name redacted off the list because this doesn't represent me.
Haggerty speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Bong Center in Superior has announced they will send experts searching for the World War II aircraft flown by their namesake. According to a Northern News Now report, Richard Bong flew the plane named after his girlfriend Marge to 20 aerial victories in World War II, but it was lost when another pilot experienced mechanical troubles while flying it and bailed out. The search will be conducted by Pacific Rex with funding from the Bong Center. The Bong Center also plans to live stream the search effort in May. The Duluth City Council is considering upgrades to some of the popular outdoor recreational areas in the city. Three resolutions were discussed at the City Council's agenda session on Thursday, which could bring big improvements to Hawks Ridge, Perch Lake Landing, and Chester Park. At Chester Park, officials are raising money to renovate and expand the Tom Storm Chalet to make it larger and more ADA accessible. The resolutions would seek grant funding to undertake the improvement projects. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Marquette headed to the Sweet 16. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles held on to beat Colorado 81-77 in the men's NCAA basketball tournament. Up next, they face North Carolina State Friday night in Dallas. Shaka Smart has Marquette back to the Sweet 16 in just his third year as head coach.
Man, they're a talented, talented team, and they got going in the second half. But our guys never blinked. You know, down the stretch, we got enough defensive stops to win the game.
Bucks head coach and Marquette alum Doc Rivers.
I talked to Shaka after the game, and there were five times I thought tonight where Marquette could have let go of the rope because they kept scoring. Colorado just puts pressure on you.
The Bucks got a decisive win, 118-93 over the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Bucks host the Lakers tomorrow night. Badgers basketball sophomore guard Connor Asegian has announced he plans to leave Wisconsin and enter the transfer portal after his team lost to James Madison. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Thank you. Most of the snow is done. Now it's going to be rain for most of today and tomorrow, and we could actually get an inch or more of rain by the time it all winds down late tomorrow afternoon. 45 today, east wind at around 10 to 20. Tonight, rain with a low of 35. Tomorrow, rain will eventually change to snow. It'll become windy with a high near 44. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 32.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas through the whole premiere. His biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Monday on Nightlight, I welcome Capital Times entertainment reporter Rob Thomas. It's Nightlight from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And as promised, I am joined by my colleague and old friend, Mr. Tim Slecker, from Busted Pencils. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, I am doing great, Earl. How are you?
It's good to hear your voice. You can be heard here at Civic Media every Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Yeah, 6 p.m., not a.m., because, yeah. that's...
Yeah.
So 6 p.m. bus. Go ahead.
No, so go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, it's exciting. You said, you know, old friend, I remember back doing the Educators Amplified events, you know, in Milwaukee, and it was just a great time. And so to be here now, what is that, 7-8 years later, and the reality of, you know, us truly working as colleagues now, it's inspiring.
Well, you see, we've got white hair now.
Anybody watching on the fake can see I have no hair.
Well, yeah. Well, what's that on your chin and on your lip?
Yeah, on my lip, and guess what? It still grows on my back too right now. So,
but let's, you know, we used to do Educators Amplified, and for people who don't know, we would do live remotes in the city of Milwaukee with educators. Mm-hmm. I think it was a great time.
Yeah,
we got a chance to hear. We fill up a place. Tim and I and the third person. You still have
Joanna. In fact, Joanna Rosado.
Yes.
Yeah, Educators Amplified every Wednesday. They're actually part of the show now. They are every Wednesday is the Educators Amplified. Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie join us.
Well, that's great because we would get it from the horse's mouth, mm-hmm. from the educators themselves. And it was a time that not much different than the day, Tim, where public education was under attack, under assault. It hasn't withered any, has it?
You know, we're either not that effective at pushing back, Earl. I kind of look at this, you know, when we were doing that work and then the work that I had, you know, I mean, I have been doing education, public activism now for 20 some years. And in one way, to put what you just said, it's harder now than it's ever been. And I think that isn't because we haven't been successful. It's because of actually realizing how successful grassroots resistance can be, that the effort that the conservative right continues to take on to go after public education, they are bringing billionaires to the table. And you've got, you know, we've got classroom teachers and parents fighting back. And so look at it that way. And that's, you know, that's why we're so happy to have Busted Pencils now 5 days a week, is to bring those voices every evening so that people can hear them.
You know, people think about dark money, and they think about dark money in other arenas, but dark money has permeated this battle against public education. And for those who, and for those who support that, you know, Tim, I think you more than anybody else can explain the importance of public education, what it meant to the development of our nation. Let's talk a little bit about what public education did to move this nation forward and continues to do, even though it's under assault.
Recognize what you said right there, Earl. I mean, everybody thinks about public education. It's where you get your education. It is the foundation. Understand and recognize that it is the foundation of democracy in this country. The one place where we get to live out and practice what it means to be a citizen in a democratic institution. The attacks on public education are really attacks on democracy. And so people hearing that, you know, we put that there, but when you think about the right to a free, equal, equivalent education of all people, regardless of whatever, regardless, the public schools, that's what they're there for. That is more democratic in one way, the openness and invitation. You think about that, that is pure democracy in public education. So recognizing that that is why we have a public school system in this country, if we're going to continue to practice, if we're going to continue to experiment to be democratic citizens in a society, you have to have a public school that supports that practice of being an engaged critical citizen. That's why it's so important, Earl. When you put about any movement, recognize has some form of education back behind it. And so public schools fully functioning as the incubators of a democracy are absolutely essential to the freedom of this country.
You know, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You can join the conversation with Tim Slecker, my friend Tim Slecker and Busted Pencils. You know, Tim, so let's look at it this way.
Mm-hmm.
At the damage that has been done to public schools, when you and I were younger, parochial schools were funded by parents who paid to have their children go to private parochial schools, right?
Right, exactly.
Something happened, and parochial schools were struggling 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that they concocted a way to stop me. Who am I?
I'm just an average guy, right? Earl, just keep going because then I'm going to come back in because you are so right.
And so what they did was concocted a way to support the parochial schools that used to be private, and the government didn't pay for them because there was an issue. Separation of church and state.
Right. This, you know, I've referred to it as, you know, this was the Catholic school bailout.
Yes.
And to put it that way, you know, it had nothing to do with failing schools. I mean, you know, schools were what they were. This was, as you said, the enrollment in private schools was declining, particularly parochial, particularly Catholic schools.
Right.
And you say, you know, how do we help that? Well, let's create, you know, this is where you know the damage. Let's create a failing local community public schools narrative to create the kind of anger that would allow people to say, well, let's abandon free public education and let's put money somewhere else and let's bail people out of failing schools. The problem is it didn't bail anybody out of failing schools. It's a supplement. And now in its full course, what, 30 years later, is that it is the government paying for parents to send their kids to private schools that in one way, Earl, could be incredibly anti-democratic in the way they approach teaching and learning. And yet our government, our state government now, is paying for parents to send their kids to schools that might, that may indoctrinate their kids towards an anti-democratic state.
You know, Tim, and the added insult to injury, when there used to be, especially when they first created these voucher systems, they were for poor children, mm-hmm. but they've moved it up to, it doesn't matter if you were paying and can afford for your child to pay for your child to go to a private school. Now it doesn't mm-hmm. matter. We, the taxpayers, mm-hmm. are going to pay for your child to go to a private school, even though you have been able to afford it. What sense?
They were all
at the expense of the public school system.
They were already there, already in the private school.
Right.
Parents were doing this. And in fact, there's evidence of parents who didn't need any type of assistance to do that, taking that assistance now and calling an education expense a hot tub, calling a trip to Disney an education expense. Because guess what? You and me, the taxpayers, we're now providing hot tub money for parents who send their kids to private schools to buy hot tubs.
It is when you dig into or lift up the veneer and look under the veneer, you'll see exactly what's going on. Let's go to the phone lines and Karina from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Karina. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning. Good morning, girl. You know, you pointed out a very important thing, the hypocrisy of the whole thing, that yes, the public education is a democracy. This is what to make people equally educated and equally understand the information coming from every possible direction. Yet, America outside of America, making a show of building new schools in the middle of nowhere for whom nobody knows. We doing it in Afghanistan. We building school for girls because it's a sign of democracy, yet we're completely forgetting it in our own country.
Mm. You know, Karina, always on point. Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Slicker, you want to respond to?
I mean, to hear, you know, Karina call in and just recognize the importance of public schools and democracy, you know, and that is, Earl, to kind of point out there, so many people get, you know, in one way, really wrapped up and lost with, quote, academic performance. Of course, that's exactly what we want to be there. But to realize, too, that the foundation of public schools is a promotion and a sustaining of a democracy. And recognizing that, really start to say, when you see then your public schools under attack and or money being spent on schools to be built, quote, in nowhere lands, or again, just siphoning taxpayer money to private schools, we've got to ask, it's like, well, then what is the government's commitment to democracy? And if you're a legislator out there supporting school choice, it feels to me then like you're supporting anti-democratic measures in this country. That seems like a violation of the Constitution if you're a legislator and you're actively supporting anti-democratic education.
I'm sorry. I don't want to pay for the wealthy's children to go to private schools. 844-967-2789. Tim Slicker of Busted Pencils on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
These two referendum that you will see on your April 2nd ballot. What is it that Republicans are after here? You cut funding for local elections. You restrict the hours. You restrict early voting. You intimidate and scare election workers so droves of them are quitting. I wonder where all of this is heading.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm joined by Tim Slecker of Busted Pencils. And so before we go to the phone lines, Tim, listen, are public schools challenged more so today than they were when you and I were in school? And I would say yes, because I spent 12 years volunteering my time in Milwaukee Public School, a district that is under withering assault, and one that I grew up in, and my 12 siblings went to school in, and my nieces and nephews and my sons all went to Milwaukee Public Schools. And so when you watch what's taking place there, are there things that go on inside of that district that I'm not totally in agreement with? Yes. But I've been married to the same woman for 43 years, and I'm not always in agreement, and she's not always in agreement with me. So nothing and nobody's perfect. But when the majority, that's where the majority of the students go, Dr., you know. And so when... And so to say we're going to penalize where the over 60,000 students are to benefit a handful of other students is just not right, Tim.
No, it is. It's not. And Earl, put it that way. Continue to have listeners understand. Yeah, this is an attack on the citizens, the kids, the community members, the businesses of Milwaukee. Defunding the Milwaukee public schools the way they are trying to. And you say, vote yes for MPS, this referendum that is coming up. It's sad how important it is, because as we were talking about on Busted Pencils with Educators Amplified, is that this money isn't for extras. This MPS referendum is just to keep the essentials of an education funded. And so you put that there, Earl, and it's just like, okay, why would people do this and defund public schools? Because you continue to create the essence, the allure, the vision that these schools are failing. The reason, though, the failing, because we have politicians who are intentionally failing public schools.
You know, Tim, it is a society that is failing the students and the parents of those children. Because again, I grew up at a different time. It was a different world, and children and families had stability. And when children go to school and they're stable, I don't care what background they come from, they stand a better chance of succeeding. But children who live in war zones and who don't know where they're going to get their next meal from, or whether or not they're going to be able to be in a stable home or environment, the chances of a school system being able to educate a child when they have to be social service agencies first becomes more difficult. Stop me if I'm saying something incorrect.
No. I mean, you point that out. And one way, the evolution to provide those services for families is something we actually should be proud of, and in fact should be funding more so that the schools can do that kind of work you're saying there, Earl, and teachers can stay focused on those academics. Because what you point out, the needs of kids, the needs of families, any student coming to school hungry is setting, we're setting them up to fail. If we realize that we're sending kids to school hungry, then we remediate, we fix that, and we then help them become a learner. If we're not willing to do that, and you say this is poverty, when I say about citizens, you know, and this is the active push here, voting yes on this referendum, it is you then as a citizen of Milwaukee stepping up and saying our kids, our schools, our society, our community matters. And we're not going to let that. So I know, Earl, when you say, things have gotten, yes, really, you know, incredibly tough. And you say parents and families trying to have a successful life when the reality, you call it, you know, a war zone. And what does a war zone mean? Hey, guess what? For a child who potentially doesn't know when they're going to eat, that's a war zone.
Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Happy Motown Monday, guys.
Yes, sir.
Right. Hey, I wanted to talk about public schools and you know, we keep on talking about, you know, back in our day, it wasn't like this, and it certainly wasn't. But back in our day, me as a newly retired adult.
A geezer.
There you go. the Wisconsin idea was in effect. And mm-hmm. the Wisconsin idea is, for many people who are aware of it, and for those who are not, is basically it's a philosophy to use public schools and public assets to solve our own problems, to create our own future, to anticipate obstacles and overcome. It's quantum thinking. It's vital to a democracy and to a healthy republic. And the, I don't know, chopping away at public schools is, in my mind, unconstitutional, as you guys were talking about earlier. The solutions are public participation. It's public mm-hmm. awareness. It's public voting. These are the solutions. It's public schools and education. It's not restrictive and inclusive, it's exclusive, it's inclusive. And that's what the Wisconsin idea talks about. And I if I were to have a wish that would become you know, something to increase the consciousness of people, it's the Wisconsin idea and how important it is to our republic and to our problem solving. And I wanted to touch on that just a little bit, if you guys could.
Hey. So Tim, hang on. Mm-hmm. Mike, we'll certainly have Tim address it on the other side, as we'll talk about many other things related to education. Stay on the phone lines. Tim Slecker and Busted Pencils on the Earl Ingram Show on Civic Media. 844-967-2789 is the number. My girl. Talking about my girl.
We'll check in with our March Madness brackets and also update you on news over the weekend on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. There's evidence Wisconsin public school attendance is rebounding slightly. The State Department of Public Instruction says collectively students attended school 92% of the time during the 2022-23 school year. That's better than the year before, but still below pre-pandemic levels. New research shows only two members of the Wisconsin legislature come from working-class backgrounds. Eric Hansen is the co-author of the study from Duke University and Loyola University Chicago.
It's just really hard to support yourself and campaign when you are holding a working-class job.
Hansen says those working-class lawmakers are Senator Robert Wirch and Representative Dave Maxey. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Fire crews responded to two structure fires on Friday night. According to the Duluth Fire Department, crews received a call around 6:45 on Friday night for a dumpster fire at the Gray Bar Electronic Supply Store on West Superior Street. Crews extinguished the fire before it spread to the building, but it still caused about $10,000 in damage. About an hour later, crews were called again for a fire at an apartment building on North 10th Avenue East. Crews evacuated two residents safely and contained the fire to one unit. A Duluth woman has been found guilty by a jury of stabbing her boyfriend in downtown Duluth in January. According to court records, 38-year-old Tawana Dunbar was arrested after stabbing her boyfriend five times at the Union Gospel Mission, believing that he had cheated on her. She was charged with second-degree assault, domestic assault, and bringing a weapon into jail. Dunbar had prior domestic violence-related convictions. She is facing up to 10 years in prison when she is sentenced on May 8th.
And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Kevin Bacon is going to the prom. Remember the original Footloose film? The film where dancing was forbidden for like 20 years, but during the final prom scene, everyone magically knew how to break dance? Life is about to imitate art. Kevin Bacon will attend this year's Big Spring Dance at Payson High School in Utah, the school where they filmed the original Footloose. The school will be moving to a new building after this year and launched a social media campaign to get Bacon's attention. The hashtag Bacon to Payson campaign worked, and Ben McCormick will be back in the school's gym four decades later, presumably with a different date. On the Today Show last Friday, Bacon appeared virtually with the students of Payson who had gathered in the gym. Bacon told the students he was proud of them and would join them at prom. He closed the message with "Let's Dance." For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Most of the snow is done. Now it's going to be rain for most of today and tomorrow, and we could actually get an inch or more of rain by the time it all winds down late tomorrow afternoon. 45 today, east wind at around 10 to 20. Tonight, rain with a low of 35. Tomorrow, rain will eventually change to snow. It'll become windy with a high near 44. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 32.
The Todd Alba Show.
Our ride into spring continues. We have some great prizes to give away. A weekend getaway at Chula Vista Resort, a bike, and a three-way blender.
A three-in-one blender.
Oh, three-in-one. Sorry, I misread that. We're having our own political threesome
Todd
here.
Todd Alba going with the After Dark Show all of a sudden.
It's always
this
a pleasure.
Is Civic Media, not Cinemax, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
wasn't very pretty. See, I was born and raised in the slums of the city. It was a one-room shack that slept in another chair beside me. We hardly had enough food or room to sleep. It was hard time. Needed something to eat, my trouble man.
All right, welcome back to Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Tim Slecker of Busted Pencils. He's bobbing his head up and down in agreement with Motown Monday.
Yes, sir.
But let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I have a friend who is kind of a right-wing moron, and he is all up in arms about that City of Milwaukee public schools are looking for another $200 million tax increase on the schools, and he's looking for the justification of that after they just got another big tax increase a few years ago. He goes, where is that money going? Why is there no audit into this? And I don't know what.
Well, the first thing it would be is track the defunding, the intentional defunding of Milwaukee public schools over the last 30 years, and start to ask the question of going, where did the money go that you should have been going there? The reality, though, too, of saying, okay, why are the taxpayers having to foot that bill? That's not a bad question to ask, because the reality, again, in Wisconsin, you're sitting on billions of dollars in a surplus that actually doesn't need the homeowners to have an increase in their taxes. You just need the Republican legislature to adequately, fully fund Milwaukee public schools, and then you do away with the need for a tax increase. Recognize that creating that also, the need for a tax increase also pits homeowners and citizens against each other, and that's their tactic for doing this. So the reality is that this is why, and so community members have to step up and pay for the essentials, because of the underfunding and the defunding that has occurred over years. And then the reality, too, of sitting in, you've got a billion and billion and billion dollar surplus in Wisconsin, and Republican legislators won't do their constitutional duty to fund the schools, all schools in Wisconsin, the way they're supposed to be. So this is what sets this up. So maybe that, I don't know if that helps, Tom.
It does. It gives me some ammunition.
Okay.
Fire back.
Okay.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from LA. Tom, go ahead.
Good morning, guys. First off, we, the people, otherwise known as government, need to rise up and get big money out of politics. I do want to say shame on the people that are using the we, the people money to fund the private parochial schools. I know for myself, I went to a parochial school, but that was my parents' decision that they paid the extra money because it was a sacrifice to send their kids to a Catholic school that they wanted to. And now for you, all the people out there that are just getting the free ride and just to go to a parochial school, shame on you. You know what? If you really care about your religion, if you really care about your parochial school, or you want your kids to have a religious upbringing school, then you know what? Sacrifice for it and do that and leave the public schools alone.
Hey.
It doesn't take rocket science to realize that you cannot have two different school systems. You can't have on one hand the public school system and then on the other side of
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. You know, Tim, I wanted to go to the culture wars, and which has added to this assault and attack on public schools. Parents, look, I've never been opposed. You know, the last time I checked, Tim, once a parent, always a parent, right?
Yeah.
Even though, you know, at my advanced age, I'm still a parent. I'll be a parent till the day I die. So
right.
I was once that parent who had children in the public school system. to say that parents somehow know more about education than the educators, I'm never accepting that. Because,
no.
And because I am a parent, and, well, we need to be able to control what is being taught in the classroom, and we need, hey, if you're not an educator, parent, you don't know, you think you know, because you've heard something that, that you've heard on radio or on some conservative site. And so now you are fighting the school system and the educators saying, you're teaching our kids the wrong thing. You're teaching. And so I'm going to spend most of my time worrying about whether or not a male, a person who has had, who was once a male and is now a female competing in, as rare as that is, Tim, I'm spending all my time and energy fighting over that. And then, then missing the whole, you know, the forest for the trees.
It's you know what? I mean, you're pointing out it. It's a brilliant, beautiful distraction and or pivot and or, as we had a guest on Busted Pencils last week, Kevin Kumashiro, Dr. Kevin Kumashiro on Monday night, he said these are actually staged in they're not going to change anything, but it creates outrage and it creates voter. You know, it has nothing to do with the reality of what's going on. But, you know, Earl, you say this. As a public school teacher and as an educator, I would say parents are absolutely essential in the partnership of educating children together with schools and teachers. You said this, though, too, when you say, hey, I have the right to control. You do not have the right to forbid curriculum about the truth from my kids. So this idea that you as a parent have this right, you do not have the right to stop the truth of being taught and learned in schools, particularly when your offense, what you're offended by, is going to impact my children, who my children are. I am fully engaged with saying, I want them in school learning science and social studies. I want them to learn that there is truth in climate change. I want them to know that there is truth and that, boy, you know what? People in the past treated minorities really badly. And holy crap, even today, there's evidence that we still do that. And maybe there's this thing called systemic racism. That's a truth. That's a reality. If you don't want that taught, Earl, guess what? There's a solution. You then do what Tom said, sacrifice, find yourself a little extra money, and you send your kids to private schools where you can, quote, control the curriculum, because that's what you're getting there. Public schools are for the citizenry, and they are not places to send indoctrinating falsehoods to create some type of happy parent who's like, see, we stopped our kids from learning. Yes, understand, you stopped your kids from learning, you then stifled democracy, because again, democracy functions on fully well-educated citizens. And so denying all the culture wars too, Earl, that is also an attempt to control what people are learning, which is an anti-democratic measure.
So the frightening thing about this, Tim, is our parents would have never done that. They would have never jumped on board with that. My generation and your generation would have never jumped on board with that. Mm-hmm. And yet this generation that is caught up in that does not understand the impact and the long-term ramifications of taking away history being taught based on some frivolous idea that it's going to make somebody feel bad. What are you talking about? And so this is Tim, the part of it that is so disjointing to me, that so many Americans have jumped on it. So we'll go to the school boards, we'll raise hell at the school board. We're gonna raise all kind of hell at those poor people who are school board members who make a mere pittance. They're not being paid. Well, if you really want to raise some hell about things that aren't right, then go to the state houses.
Exactly.
Where all of these things are taking place, and fight there. Am I right, Tim?
No, you're absolutely right, too. And the Earl, the other thing, too, is to realize that it's a loud It's a loud minority of people making these right. noises that are fully, fully funded by billionaires to push this. In fact, in a lot of the research on who are the parents going to school boards to complain about history curriculum, guess what they found out? The majority of the people who show up at these school board meetings are people who don't have kids in public schools.
Right.
They are actually political plants that are just there to rile up the noise.
Let's go to Jeanette from Racine. Good morning to you, Jeanette. You say what?
Good morning. I would just like to say that I don't understand how parents or just people in general don't realize after the pandemic, when schools were shut down.
Turn your radio down. Jeanette, okay. We'll hold it. Turn your radio down. So, Tim, you just wonder if things are going to get any better while we await. Jeanette, are you back?
Yeah, I turned.
Okay,
down.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say that after with the pandemic and all the children that were at home and parents had to teach their kids at home, if they don't realize the value and what they went through at home with their children, they should be giving teachers roses and they should be this was such a thing. How can they just not realize that the value of what teachers do in America and just in general? That's the problem. So many people get sidetracked by all these other issues. Oh, that's woke agenda. Well, woke agenda means that you're awake. Why do you want to hide what happened in the past? And my thing is, if that woke agenda, supposedly, as you like to call it, makes you feel bad about who you are or what happened, it shows that you're still human. Not that you should feel bad about what happened to the individual that happened to. So that means that you are still a human being. So I just don't understand. And I grew up, I'm 71. I grew up and I went to Catholic school for like 13 years in Chicago. And my parents worked hard to pay for that themselves. And my mom, she worked at the church or did all that extra to help along the way. And I sent my son to Catholic school here in Racine, briefly. And I just don't get it why people just, they villainize the word woke.
Well, so.
And it's such a great word. It means you're not sleeping.
Well,
hello.
Well, so Jeanette, I wear a woke hat and I started to wear it today, Tim. Everywhere I go, I've got this woke hat on and people look at me like I came from a different world. But I understand the definition of what it is. They've changed it. Yeah. But it still doesn't mean that the definition of it has really been changed, Tim. Thank you very much for the call, Jeanette. You want to respond, Tim?
No, you're going to say it's like proudly proclaim that I am awake. Yes, my goodness, how that has turned into a derogatory. Like you said, just own it and say like, yeah, I am aware. The other thing, Earl, this whole idea of going like, if you feel uncomfortable, if you feel ashamed, if it's an emotionally charged, guess what? Education can be very, very, very uncomfortable sometimes. And in fact, some of the most profoundly powerful education is emotionally disturbing because it changes your world, moves you in a direction where you go, wow, I didn't know that. And now that I know that, my goodness, the world has changed. That's what we should be wanting from the education that our kids are getting, to be awakened out there as a student. That's what your teachers are supposed to do.
Well, and they are, and if they only knew, their children want to know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can try to protect your children all you want to. When they grow up, they'll know, they'll seek out the truth, just like you and I did, Tim, just like every other human being does.
Guess what? I knew where my dad hid those magazines.
hey, can we say that this early in the morning? Anyway, that's Tim Slecker talking. Not Earl Ingram. But anyway, 844-967-2789. We're going to continue the conversation. Tim Slecker and Busted Pencils on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I can't believe the chime has already gotten away. It's so good to have Tim Slecker of Busted Pencils on the air. You know, Tim, I wanted to say that educating children today is a lot more difficult than it was when when my children were in school. The things that parents are faced with, the technology and all of the things around children that can take them away from the realities of reading and writing and things that appear to be boring because they can get their hands on this thing that I'm showing you, the cell phone or the computer and the technology, which can be a blessing, is also a major hindrance and impacts and effects. I've watched children in my time in the public schools bring these things, these telephones, into the classrooms, and education stops for them. And in some instances, stops for the teacher. It's much more difficult a task of educating students today than it was years ago. Is it safe to say that?
It's really safe to say that. You know, again, technology distractions. But the other thing, Earl, is to recognize, you say, over the past 20 to 30 years, the amount of income disparity that has come through and the reality facing, you said, kids, schools, you know, poor medical care, inadequate nutrition, the ability to have caring people around in their lives. I mean, the effects of poverty, and then you throw in there, Earl, as you said, these kind of great distractors, the cell phones and technology. It's a real complicated place then to go in as a classroom teacher and compete with all of those, you say, distractions in the technology, but then the realities of students' basic needs not being met. So, Earl, put that together. Students' basic needs not being met, and then also incredibly powerful distractors at the same time. It really does set up teachers. And this is where I go back to the caller and going, this is why your teachers need the respect. They're out there doing that work. I mean, the reality of you pointing this out is to say, now, what is the solution to some of those great distractors? I think there are some ideas out there that we can work with. You know, can we limit some of the technology and how students are approaching or when they're allowed to use this. Yes. The other thing too is that we need to spend a lot more time being actively involved in educating students on how to use technology to deepen the learning, to explore, to become better democratic citizens. The technology is, in one way, is very much depersonal. It doesn't care. You can use it for good. You can use it for bad.
Let's go to Eric from Tulsa. Eric, quickly, thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Yeah, hello. It seems as if, and I've seen data supporting this, that since really 2010 and the kickoff of Act 10 is, you know, Wisconsin has been really criminally shoveling money from the public schools, taking from the public schools and shoveling it into the Voss Family Foundation, basically. And when it comes to teaching things, you know, if we all remember back in 2020, when white folks were like understanding, you know, I'm going to have to get comfortable being uncomfortable. You spoke earlier about being uncomfortable and everything like that. And boy, oh boy, look what's happened ever since, you know? And when people are talking about these things, it's really like a cognitive dissonance. When you try and talk to people, they're really believing what they want to believe, whatever narrative fits their belief system. That's how I feel. So I'll just hang up and listen. Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much for the call, Eric. Go ahead, Tim.
No, I mean, Eric's right, right? This idea that, you know, these are things that we need to continue to remind everybody. But, the power of education, really, and see, not just the power of education, the power of public education, Earl. And that's really, too, when you say, you know, busted pencils on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays, now at 6 p.m. That's what we're trying to do here every day of the week, is remind and empower listeners to realize that the public school system is the vehicle for protecting freedom in this country. So the right-wing conservatives that are trying to defund public schools, defend the teaching of falsehoods, promote all of the, okay, that's not the freedom crowd. The freedom crowd is the pro-public school crowd that is saying we need to maintain democracy. So if you're about a freedom, I just put this out there, hey, freedom is, we're going to talk about that every night of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 6 o'clock on Busted Pencils. Or, I'm sorry, I had to take a little stab there, do a little promo.
That's one of the purposes of having you on. Let me also state that when you look at what's happening with education across this nation, it's not just public schools where it's not happening to, you know, to the zenith. It's also in many private schools where children aren't exceeding in global competition. Is it safe to say that?
Yeah. I mean, which points back to going, it's like, you know, we don't have the money right now to invest in education. What?
I know.
How can anybody make that? No, you find the money to invest in, because you say, first of all, guess what? From an economics perspective, any investment in education yields far more than any investment in remediating when you don't do education well, which typically is some form of a social system, prison, you name it. Yeah, right. You know, so you want to, in there is nothing more important than the investment in public education, because it always pays off economically, if that matters to you. But more importantly, it pays off socially and civically by promoting an involved citizenry who are then practicing democracy.
Hey, Tim, thank you very much. It's good seeing you again. We won't let it be the last time. Tell Joanna I said hello, and we'll make the connection.
All right. Thank you, Earl. Thank you so much.
That's Dr. Tim Slecker of Busted Pencils. You can hear him 6 to 7 o'clock every Monday through Friday on Civic Media. Calvin, thank you. Thank everybody who made the show go on Motown Mondays. Thank you for listening. Up next, Greg Bach and Jane Medner on Medner On Air. Get out and enjoy the weather. See you on tomorrow with my co-host, Sandy Williams.
Now 70-30, now 60-40, talking about a 50-50 love.
From the heart.
heart of the St. Croix Valley,
we're in touch with you.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Tuesday morning on Up North News Radio, signs of progress, maybe, to fix immigration rules for the many migrants who keep Wisconsin dairy farms operating.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The KreipsCast, folks.
My conversation with Taylor Kalmus, a.k.a. Dude Dad.
When you go to the movies and you get to the last climactic scene, you're not just like, oh, you know what would be fun? Let's leave. Let's finish this movie in the parking lot. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
I think he's talking about...
Let's pull out of this movie theater.
KreipsCast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Former President Donald Trump is in court in New York City for a hearing in the hush